Madhavam Jairada Madhavam Kund Vihari Radha Madhavam Jaya Gopidana Vallabha Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhariya Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanam Sari Yamuna Tira Vanam Sari Radha Madhava Kund Vihari Radha Madhava Jai Radha Madhava Kund Vihari Radha Madhava Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhariya Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanam Sari Yamuna Tira Vanasari
Anada
Narada Madhava Kund Vihari Raja Madhava Jai Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Jai Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Jai Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
Premanandi. Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa. Pri Vrajagacharya Stotara Satya Sri Simadhi's Divine Grace. Silavoya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Iskandi Viti Founder Charya's Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Samavata Bhaktivedanta Ki. Harinama Sankirtana Ki. Granthrasma Bhagavatam Ki. Jainitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories. All glories to Sri Guru and to Sri Gauranga. All glories. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 4, chapter 25, entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana. Text number 50. Pitrihur Niripa Purya Dwar Dakshinena Puranjanaha Rastram Dakshina Panchalam Yati Srutadharanvitaha. Pitrihur Nripa Purya Dwar Dakshinena Puranjanaha Rastram Dakshina Panchalam Yati Sruta Dharanvitaha. Pitrihur Nripa Puryadwar Dakshinena Puranjanaha Rastram Dakshina Panchalam Yati Sruta Dharanvitaha. Pitrihur Nripa Puryadwar Dakshinena Puranjanaha Rastram Dakshina Panchalam Yati Sruta Dharanvitaha. Ladies. Pitrihu, of the name Pitrihu, Nripa, O King, Punyaha, of the city, Dvaha, gate, Dakshinena, on the southern side, Puranjanaha, King Puranjana, Rastram, country, Dakshina, southern, Panchalam, of the name Panchala, Yati, used to go, Sruta Dhara Anvitaha, along with his friend Srutadhara. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The southern gate of the city was known as Pitrihu, and through that gate King Puranjana used to visit the city named Dakshina Panchala, accompanied by his friend Srutadhara. Purport. The right ear is used for karma kandiya, or fruitive activities. As long as one is attached to the enjoyment of material resources, he hears from the right ear and uses the five senses to elevate himself to the higher planetary systems like Pitriloka. Consequently, the right ear is here described as the Pitrihu gate. So yesterday we were hearing the class given by Tejas Prabhu on the in regards to the tongue, the importance of the tongue. Today we are hearing, actually today's class and tomorrow's class is speaking about the right ear and the left ear. It might have been better to actually hear both of these two verses together, but because our time is very short today, I will content myself with only keeping to this verse. The purport of tomorrow's verse is going into a little bit more detail in regards to the right ear and the left ear and their purpose. Of course, hearing, as we all know, is one of the most important activities in devotional service. Now, the whole process of bhakti yoga begins with hearing, sravanam. Sravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam. So, I was just thinking how today happens to be the first day of Kartik Damodar Vrata, and we were hearing this morning the names of so many devotees who have just arrived here in Bombay. And then, of course, with the Damodar prayers, I was just thinking how, especially when we have festivals in our different temples, there's a lot of competition for hearing. And it will surely be like that also when we return to the spiritual world, because so many exalted devotees are there. And the main activity actually for devotees is to speak either directly about Krishna or about things in relation to Krishna. Jai Sri Radharas Bihari Ki Jai. Hearing and speaking are actually going on simultaneously, and they constitute the two most important activities for devotees. Srila Prabhupada explains that one can become self-realized by any of the nine processes of devotional service. However, hearing and chanting are considered very, very potent and very powerful processes of devotional service. Today I wanted to, because it is the beginning of the month of Damodar, it was only maybe last year that I happened to read one small section in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam in regards to this pastime that we are remembering, especially this month, pastime of Lord Damodar. I just wanted to share that a little bit and then try to make a few comments regarding the importance of hearing, how Srila Prabhupada himself referred to his own Guru Maharaj when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Actually, every year his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, used to hold this parikrama for about 1 month or so. And although practically every evening Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would be giving lectures, very often some of the disciples, they would go and not be attending. But Srila Prabhupada always made it a point to actually attend the lectures. And then Srila Prabhupada relates how his Guru Maharaj had made the comment that, I have noticed, this boy likes to hear, you know, Srila Prabhupada likes to hear. And actually many years later, in America, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, he was making the following comment: Srila Prabhupada, your writings are so wonderful, your lectures are so inspiring, you are gifted for speaking so eloquently about Krishna and about Krishna consciousness, devotional service. Everyone likes to hear. And then Srila Prabhupada, in a very humble way, replied, if today I have any qualification for speaking, it is because I have heard attentively. I have heard attentively from my Guru Maharaj. So, I want to share this small pastime. It is part actually of the Damodar pastime. We generally, of course, glorify Krishna in his childhood pastimes. The childhood pastimes of Krishna are considered most attractive because they're very, very sweet. You know, children are very sweet by nature, very simple. And in one of the purports, which I want to share with you, because it took me many, many years actually before coming across this particular purport, it is nicely explaining why is it that Mother Yashoda was herself boiling the milk that day, because very often in the Vedic culture, not very often, generally there are servants who are helping in so many ways. But on this particular day, it was Mother Yashoda herself who was actually boiling the milk. In other days, it was her servants. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that there was a very special reason why Mother Yashoda on that particular day chose to do this service herself. As we know, baby Krishna, along with Balaram, they would often, because they loved so much butter, yogurt, and all kinds of milk sweets, as they would go to their neighbors and they would steal from them. So naturally this came to the attention of Mother Yashoda, probably on many occasions. So in order to try and rectify or to prevent that baby Krishna go and take, because she was thinking, if he's going and taking butter and yogurt there, it means that that butter and that yogurt is of a higher quality than mine, than what we're giving Krishna here. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains something that I, you know, probably many devotees have not read, or at least if I read it, I had forgotten. Mother Yashoda keeps some special cows. You see, Mother Yashoda has her own cows, which give very special milk. And therefore she wanted that from these cows today, I will make special preparation for Krishna. And that's how, of course, the rest of the whole, you know, Leela has taken place. So hearing is, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, especially we see in the Vedic culture, when one is younger, like in Gurukul, in Gurukula, for the first 4 or 5 years, one simply hears, one actually memorizes, isn't it? That is the process. This process, which is sometimes criticized by Western educationalists, people who are teaching within the educational system, they criticize the ancient traditional way of teaching children in Gurukula, that they just memorize, you see. But actually, we should understand, that this is the right process, this is the right method, because in terms of psychology, in terms of human development, it is at that younger age that one can actually nicely hear and memorize very perfectly. It was not uncommon. Now it is unseen practically, what we call srutadhara, one who is able to recollect or remember or actually immediately capture and retain within one's mind whatever one hears. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Srutidhara. Srila Vyasadeva was also Srutidhara. Srila Advaita Acharya was also a Srutidhara. They could immediately recite thousands of verses. Just like we find it amazing if somebody can recite. We do have a few devotees, probably not many, one who can recite all the 700 verses from the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, it's in Kali Yuga, definitely is amazing. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur at the age of 7 had already memorized 700 verses. One devotee from Singapore who was visiting South India was telling me, he related this to me, I have no reason not to believe him. We know how previously, even now, individuals are called Trivedi, Chaturvedi, isn't it? Trivedi means one has memorized three Vedas. To memorize one Veda takes 12 years. So, if you're a Trivedi, that means you've spent, 36 years. And if you're Chaturvedi, 48 years, just memorizing, just learning the Vedas. So this devotee from Singapore had actually met one person in South India, and naturally from a Brahmana family, who had memorized the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, our Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, he's well known within our ISKCON society as being one of our foremost Sanskrit scholars. He is heading up our Srimad Bhagavatam Vidyapitam in Govardhan. So he has a very wonderful method of actually requesting his students to memorize various chapters. One of my students was attending a few years back from Indonesia, and I think at that time maybe 20 students were there, and they all had different sections so that at least 4 or 5 cantos would have been, you know, memorized by a combination of all of them. So this technique actually of memorizing is very important, because then one can just like nowadays, of course, computers have replaced the Shruti Dharas. The computers are the Shruti Dharas. Of course, they break down very often. One can recall at any time various verses, various anecdotes, various stories. So in this way, in the Vedic culture, hearing is given great importance, great emphasis. And of course, the right hearing about Krishna. Srinvatam svakata Krishna punya sravana kirtana ridyanta stoya badrani vidunoti suritsatam. So this hearing about Krishna, this chanting about Krishna, has the immediate effect of actually purifying our consciousness. Today, actually, many things are happening. Many things means it is the beginning of month of Damodar. It is also the disappearance of Murari Gupta, one of the great associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I wanted to just touch a little bit on, you know, these different important events which are taking place. Just one small anecdote in regards to Murari Gupta. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was one day glorifying, praising. Actually, devotees, they don't like to be praised, which is a good quality, out of humility. They don't want somebody to praise them. So after Lord Chaitanya praised Murari Gupta for his wonderful qualities, Murari Gupta immediately, from memory, quoted one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was a verse spoken by Sudama Vipra. When Sudama Vipra was visiting Dwarka and having darshan of Krishna, Sudama Vipra was actually from a Brahmana family, but he was so humble, although from a Brahmana family, he considered himself an unqualified Brahmana. Actually, in Kali Yuga, we are all unqualified, isn't it? Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Even if somebody is born in a Brahmana family, one is unqualified unless one is getting training, education, etc. But this Sudama Vipra, although born in a Brahma family, considered himself as Brahma Bandhu, friend of Brahmanas. So this Murari Gupta was quoting this verse, trying to imbibe the mood of Sudama Vipra, that my dear Lord, you're praising me, but actually I don't deserve any, you see, praise. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada was nicely explaining how this Murari Gupta, actually, Murari Gupta was not born in a Brahmana family. He was born in Shudra family. But he was so appreciating, he was so much appreciating that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not take into consideration one's material position or material designation. Anyone who took up to the chanting of the holy name, anyone who took up to the process of devotional service, such persons became very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that the members, you know, Prabhupada always wanting to teach us something, and the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, possibly that was being written when he was especially preaching in the West, referring mostly to Western devotees, members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement in the Western countries, they're not even Brahmana Bandhu. They're not even friends of Brahmanas. They're not born in Brahmana families. They're not even born or connected with the Vedic culture, you see. But because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply by taking up the process of Krishna consciousness, then they can also become elevated to the highest platform of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada was quoting that very well known instruction given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jare Reko Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh Amar Agya Guru Hoy Tar Edesh. So the more we are able to hear about Krishna consciousness, then as Prabhupada gives himself and as an example, then the more we will be able to present to others, introduce to others the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is actually our main purpose, or the main purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, to give an opportunity to as many conditioned souls as possible to hear about Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has very kindly given us unlimited opportunities to engage in preaching activities. When we come to such temples as this one here in Juhu, especially this temple being very unique in that Srila Prabhupada himself is so intimately connected, isn't it, with the Juhu temple, one of the first three major temples established by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's personal quarters are here in Juhu, and such temples like Bombay, like this Juhu temple, the one in Vrindavan, and Mayapur, these three especially, have a very special importance for the devotees of our society. And Srila Prabhupada himself spent considerable time in all of these three temples. And whenever we have, as we are having in the next few days, beginning today, actually it started yesterday with the ISKCON Bureau meetings, it is simply very wonderful to see so many devotees from so many temples who have been serving for so many years as well, coming and attending and participating. It is actually a tribute to Srila Prabhupada that especially we see in many of our larger temples here in India, very active in various preaching activities. And of course, Srila Prabhupada himself established this morning program as especially very, very important for hearing about Krishna. Therefore, the importance for us to regularly attend the morning program, including especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should always remember also that out of 64 devotional items, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, five are considered most important. And out of those five, within those five, hearing. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Sravana. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Sravana, Maturavasa, Srimurtira. These five activities, associating with devotees on a regular basis, and chanting the holy name of Krishna every day. When we chant the holy name, we are also hearing. We are meant to hear the holy name. And then, of course, hearing, especially from the Srimad Bhagavatam, on a daily basis. Srila Prabhupada's vision was such that he didn't want only that our devotees, you know, those who are living in our temples, or our immediate congregation, come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Many years back, Srila Prabhupada's plan at that time, actually one time he had one meeting, he had a scheduled meeting with Indira Gandhi. And we know how here in India, whenever somebody comes into government, you know, they have a 5-point program, 10-point program for the next 5 years or whatever. Prabhupada had a 10-point program, 10 points that he wanted to actually discuss with Indira Gandhi. And one of those points was that the ministers, every day before they go to office, before they go to the cabinet, they should hear Srimad Bhagavatam class. When or when would that day come? Actually, that day will one day manifest itself, because that is part of what is meant to take place. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, although we may wonder sometimes as devotees, you know, how everything is going to take place, how everything is going to develop. The movement is still actually very, very young, and it's still in its, we could say, infancy stage in many ways, compared to, for example, Christianity, which has been around for last 2,000 years, as a movement. Of course, the process of bhakti, devotional service, the bhakti movement, in many ways actually is also still young, in that it has been brought out since the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is only 500 years. But we should know that actually all of the good instructions given to us by Srila Prabhupada in his lectures, conversations, purports, they actually pave the way. They actually give us a complete picture of how things are meant to be evolved and developed, to the point where one day we should know, whether it's going to be in our lifetime or not, that is maybe difficult to understand. But Srila Prabhupada is very clear through his various purports that one day the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be fulfilled, in that within society in different countries around the world, that day will come when the heads of state and their various ministers will actually be enacting legislation quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam or quoting from various shastras, because that is how kings used to rule previously, isn't it? The Rajarsis. The Rajarsis were not only Raja, but they were also Rishi. Great saintly persons who knew Shastra. And whatever they enacted, actually before bringing forth various legislation, they would consult. They would consult with their ministers. They would consult with the Brahmanas. So this is very much, of course, lacking all over the world today, and it is part of the responsibility of this Krishna consciousness movement to bring this information, to make this information actually known to various leaders in society. This is, of course, a very large topic, very big topic in terms of leadership. We are actually facing, we means within the whole world, in all organizations, what we call leadership crisis. There's a lack of leadership in practically all the countries, mainly because people are not basing their decisions on Krishna conscious principles and concepts. So if we make it a point to nicely hear, attentively hear regularly these instructions given by Srila Prabhupada, if we attentively hear the holy name that we chant every single day in the morning especially, or any time during the day when we chant the holy name, if we give attention, more attention to this hearing and chanting especially, then it will be possible, more easily it will be possible, more quickly also it will take place, that this mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be spread more and more widely all over the world. I was just having a small realization this morning how actually the number of devotees around the world is increasing every day. You see, every single day in different countries around the world, there are new people coming in contact with Krishna consciousness. And there are individuals who are making, we could say, major decisions to take it up very seriously. By chanting 16 rounds every day, and by becoming decided, yes, let me be firmly connected with this movement. So the number of devotees are increasing. It is simply a matter of time that some of these devotees will be very rightly situated in very important positions within society, leadership positions, and will one day be making, we could say, major decisions how society should be organized based on Krishna conscious principles. So it all begins actually with hearing. This hearing, actually, I'll just finish on this point because today meetings are beginning, so we don't want to go over time. Hearing actually begins even before we are born, isn't it? The child within the womb, at the age of, approximately 7 months, it becomes conscious. And examples are there, like Prahlad Maharaj, who was able to hear from the womb of his mother. So hearing is most important. We should every day give full attention to this process of hearing. and then all of the other processes will more easily follow that one. So I'll stop here. If there's any question, short question we might take.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Is chanting being practiced in the spiritual world like Vaikunth and Golok? And if so, then which mantra?
Yes. Chanting, we should understand, is not only chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chanting, we should understand, as well as speaking about or glorifying. In the spiritual world, and also here in the material world, those who are engaged in devotional service, whenever they speak about Krishna, that is also chanting. Whenever they engage in various activities of devotional service, that is also considered chanting. So the holy name in the spiritual world is there. Actually, the holy name is directly Krishna, we should understand. So Krishna is fully there in the spiritual world, and the devotees are engaged in various kinds of activities, just like we see in Vrindavan. The lives and activities and pastimes of the residents of Vrindavan is giving us an indication of how things are going on in the spiritual world. So devotees in the spiritual world are not sitting in yoga positions, you know, meditating on Krishna, because Krishna is right there. So they're mainly engaged in serving Krishna. So that is their chanting. They're chanting for the Mother Yasoda, for example. Her chanting is boiling the milk and to prepare various milk sweets for Krishna. That is her chanting. So chanting, we should understand it in that broader sense in the spiritual world.
Just before 4 days, there was an article in the newspaper,
yes,
in the front page, that Hare Krishna devotees are being persecuted and bullied by various governments in Europe and other parts of the world.
Hare Krishna world is?
Devotees. Hare Krishna movement is, not taken favorably in many countries.
Not taken?
Favorably by government. Persecuted.
Not taken seriously.
Persecuted.
Persecuted, okay, yes.
So that was the opposite news. Instead of government taking the support of devotees, they are driving devotees, out and like that.
Yes.
So that is happening all over the world, that was written.
I would not say that this is happening all over the world. There are some instances where there is prosecution, of devotees. That was happening. That's, part of the material world. That's been there since the creation. You see that there's always that constant tug of war between the devotees and the non-devotees. So it means, even during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, isn't it? Devotees were being persecuted by the Chankazi and whatnot. So, but actually in many places, we always have to, look at all sides. In many places, some very important government people are very highly praising. I believe in North America, in particular, I think earlier this year during some of the festivals, like when the mayor of a city, they attend our festivals and they highly praise actually the activities of devotees. In other places, there is persecution. So there is a mixture going on, which means that we still have a fair amount of work to do so that everyone can actually one day be praising the devotees. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, you mentioned about hearing going on even before birth.
Yes.
In this connection, I would like to say this, that when I was working with Dr. Patel in the Abortion is Murder campaign at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we were in touch with some church bodies and they gave us some films and literature, and came to know from that there was an experiment performed in maternity hospitals in England, and the child was made to hear like a Beethoven and Mozart religious symphony when it was 7 months old in the womb, and a whole 10 months after birth, various musics were played to the child and it recognized when the Beethoven Mozart yes. item came, was played. He showed signs of recognition.
Yes. There are various research have been done to that effect, which testify to what the Bhagavatam is telling. Correct? Yeah. So our time is up this morning. Thank you very much. Jai Granth Raj Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki.